Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. This presentation will be about, it will be a connection from the previous presentation on the elemental quaternity, reality and consciousness symbolism with respect to the cross and sun symbolism, as well as the Ankh, which I had brought into the sun and cross symbolism about the life and real life we can lead, more authentic life. This ties into that, as well as the Ka, the Ankh, the bull, and how this relates to the invention of our alphabet, the alphabet and the alphabet. So the A comes from the bull, the Ka comes from the bull, the letter T comes from the cross and the Ankh, which ultimately comes from the bull. It's all because of the bull and cow symbolism, all of the Hathor and the cow goddess, and the sun traversing, the solar bark traversing through the cow goddess, the solar bark traversing through the night sky of Nut, the Milky Way. It's all the same symbolism described in different ways about the... you can either go through the earth in the underworld resurrection, as I've described in the Ra cycle wheel in the previous presentation, in the part one, or you can traverse in the solar bark through the underworld and resurrection and rebirth. Instead of going through the earth, you can look at it as going through the night sky. So it sets in the west and then it gets reborn through Nut. And then Nut gives birth to the sun again, or the cow gives birth to the sun again, and the sun and the horns. Anyways, you'll see all the imagery for that. So, this was all started as part of the same research into the Ka and Egypt and the bull and the cow symbolism. So it's pretty much dealing with the alphabet, and primarily with the letters A and T, and also with K and the Ka, the force, energy, and strength symbolism, which relates to the sun and the cross and all that. So we have the sun cross symbolism, we have the Ankh, the four elements. This relates to the sign of Taurus, the astrological symbols, and it relates to the symbol of infinity. The Ankh is the top part of the infinity that you can look at. The ox or cow or bull symbolism as having the bottom part of the loop of the infinity, and then it only has the half of the top part. So you can see the horns and the head, they loop around. If the horns actually connected on top, it would make a sort of infinity symbol. The reason I bring the infinity symbols here and I put the tarot card is, again, with reference to the previous presentation on the cyclical nature, the repetitive aspect, cyclical, infinite, Ouroboros, recursive, looping aspect of how we process in reality and how we continually output into reality. So please check the previous presentation, elemental quaternity, reality and consciousness symbolism, as well as the previous one before that of consciousness and causality symbolism. There's two parts to that as well. So the wheel of tarot here, we have, again, a reference to the four elements. I've mentioned it in the previous presentation. We have the bull, the lion, the eagle, and the water bearer man. And we have the snake going down and Anubis coming up. Again, Anubis in the underworld coming up through the resurrection. It's all the symbolism for rebirth and resurrection. So this is, I'll go to that when I do the text on the left part. So we have letters. A and T is from bull symbolism, as we'll see, as I will show. Aleph and Tau, Aleph and Tav, is like Alpha and Omega. There's the saying, the beginning and the end, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Well, the Alpha and the Omega refers to the Greek alphabet. If you go to the Hebrew, the Semitic, Phoenician, Proto-Sinaic, Aleph Bet, well, that's Aleph and Tav, Aleph and Tau. And you have the Tau cross, that relates to the Ankh, when you take the ankh, the top part of the loop off, all you have left is the tau cross. So aleph and tau, and you'll see how the beginning and the end of the alphabets, aleph and tau, come from the bull. As the cross and the ankh is bull symbolism as well, from the thoracic vertebrae. So we have the ka, comes from bull. As I briefly mentioned in the previous presentation, it'll be more demonstrated here. And the Apis bull, the Serapis bull, when they merge, Osiris and the bull, Osiris and Apis was the Serapis worship. And there was the Minervous bull, and there's another one. There was three main, Minervous, Apis, and another one. Three main bull-cow worshipping cults or groups in the ancient times. So T was originally X, or X originally T. Well, you can understand that just by looking at a cross. If you tilt it 45 degrees, it becomes an X. And that's where we get the tau cross from, is from the regular cross, which was like an X, a regular cross. But when you take off the top part, all you have left is the letter T, which is the tau cross. And that's the bottom part of the ankh. So on the right side, you can see you have the ka, which is our actions, deeds, change in time, the two arms. So if you just take the two arms as two lines, and then you cross them over, and that gives you the time sign, and then you flip it 45 degrees in counterclockwise or clockwise direction, you turn it, and then it becomes an upright cross. All from crossing the two arms over, you get the upright, you get the X cross. If you cross your arms on your chest, you get the X cross. But if you tilt that 45 degrees, you get the regular solar cross. And when you do the aspect that the four elements and the cyclical aspect of our generating in reality from our desires and thoughts to our actions and the results and consequences in reality goes round and round and round. You think about Ouroboros and the infinity loop. If you take the infinity sign and you put it over the cross and you take off the bottom part, well, what you have is the ankh sign. It's just symbolizing the top part of the cross, the air, and the thoughts and the higher consciousness with the Ru oval loop of the mouth and the gate to God. So the gate to God is through the air symbol of higher consciousness and thoughts. And that's the Ru oval in the ankh, is that the mouth and the womb and the gateway to that higher consciousness is through the air symbolism of our thoughts and higher consciousness. So the Tao developed into Tau Rus, Taurus, the bull ox of the zodiac. So we have the Apis bull, an Aleph, an Alpha, an A. It's all related to the bull. And the Taurus sign is very important. Again, you have the Tau cross and the bull, the Taurus, is at the bottom. That's why also, I didn't bring it in the previous presentations, but the bull is, it belongs at the bottom with the lion on the side, and then the other side is the man, and then at the top is the eagle or air sign. But the bull is earth. It was at the bottom, the T tau cross. You wouldn't put the bull on the left or the right for the tau cross. You'd put at the bottom, and then at the top is the air, which is how the ankh represents it very well, I find, once you understand all of this. So the ankh has the air at the top with the oval. And then when you take away the oval, well, all you have is the T, and that's the Taurus T, Tau cross, Taurus, Tau cross, is represented through the astrological zodiac properly with the bull at the bottom, emphasizing the bull at the bottom for the Tau cross and the eagle at the top for the air symbolism for the top Ru oval round part of the ankh, to symbolize that dichotomy of the earth bull and the air eagle. It works perfectly in correspondence. So the top of the ankh is an oval. It's the RW Ru. So you have the Tau and the Ru, which equals Taurus. You have the Tau cross and the Ru oval. You join them together and you get the ankh. And when you join the ankh, when you join the Tau cross and the Ru, you get the ankh and you get Tau Ru. And that's Taurus. The Taurus is that wheel. So you have the cross. We also have the wheel. The wheel is the the roux, the mouth or the oval, because the word roux, the letter R in the Egyptian, is what led to our O letter. So it looks like a vesica piscis, so that's why you have the womb or the mouth, because it looks like lips, or if you turn it 90 degrees, then it has the womb shape. So tau and roux, the tau cross and the roux oval joined together make the ankh, but that's also tau roux torus, and you'll see that the ankh, the shape, comes from the thoracic vertebrae of the torus animal, the bull or the cow. So all of this symbolism comes from the bull. It comes from animals, it comes from reality. We're trying to express understandings that we can conceive of. So again, first is reality, second is knowledge of reality, and third is symbols of reality to try to express that knowledge we derive from reality. So we have all this knowledge, and then we're going to take that knowledge and we're going to express it through symbols. So we're going to create symbols called the ankh. Where do we get the ankh from? Well, the ankh is a symbol derived from the thoracic vertebrae of the bull. So there's a symbol derived from reality itself as the derivation of a symbol, but we're also going to apply different knowledge that we've attributed from other understandings of reality into that symbol. So we take a symbol from reality and we apply other knowledge into that symbol. So the ankh becomes an aspect of life. Again, if you understand the cross, the solar wheel, well, the solar symbolism of the cross and the wheel, the Ouroboros, the infinity symbol, how we generate in life, please check out Elemental Quaternity, the previous presentation, to understand that more, as well as Causality and Consciousness, and you'll understand it more. So this is how we're generating in reality. That's why round and round and round. The tarot card, I didn't finish mentioning that, but it has the wheel and the cross. So you take the wheel and you take the cross, and it's the same thing as the ankh and the cross, where at the top part here I have the wheel and the cross, and I put the ankh oval. If you remove the top cross, well, then you get the ankh sign. So if you take the wheel with the cross, and you take the wheel and you shrink it and you put it at the top, then you have your ankh sign. So it's all the parts of the ankh, the wheel, the oval, the roux, the mouth, the gate, the womb, gateway, mouth, womb, to higher consciousness, represented by the air symbolism, because the air, sky, heaven, it's all upward. That's why our head points upwards. Our arms and our legs, they point down, but our head's pointing up. And that has to do with Samet Ar-Ra in the Arabic, which is Samet is a source for zenith. It's about pointing upwards. Anyways, that'll come later in another slide. So we have the wheel of the zodiac, is the wheel of time, dharma. I've mentioned it before. It's the wheel of time, the wheel of fortune, the wheel of fate, the wheel of destiny, the wheel of dharma, the wheel of karma. It's all the same things. These are all relating to us and our futures, which is why we generate into reality, and reality affects us, and we affect reality going into the future based on the past. Is it all has to do with our future, based on what we do as our actions, our ka, our actions, deeds, change and affect the future time that will be created. So time, fortune, so the wheel of fortune, yeah, the wheel of the tarot wheel of the zodiac, has to do with wheel of time, has to do with symbolism about ourselves to generate in reality. It's the wheel of time, the wheel of fortune, the wheel of destiny, the wheel of fate. All that has to do with time, our time in the future, what's coming ahead, is based on what we're doing right now, our actions. This is our dharma. This is the karma we receive too. This is the rota, the wheel, the chariot of the gods. It's the solar bark going round and round. The sun goes up in the day, but at night it jumps in the bark because it's dead, so it travels on that solar bark, the funerary bark that the dead travel in, because it's all symbolism about the sun and reality transposed upon ourselves, and then we develop rituals and ridiculous things, and that's where religions come in, and all these rituals, and oh, well, you gotta feed food to your ka and your ba, all these aspects of invented imaginations of the soul and then externalized forces, Oh, and then you got to put yourself. We only put the pharaoh because only the pharaoh had the worthy ka. He was the ruler, expressive of ma'at and goodness, and law and truth. Even if he was a liar, you know, you can just believe whatever you want, anyways, and pass off evil as good and get people to conform to your way of living, all under the guise of a greater good, which is what's done in government and military in our age. It has been done for thousands of years through religion and priestly orders and kings and rulerships. So they have the divine authority to rule. They have the divine cause. So they're put on the solar funerary bark, and they go into the afterlife. But they're the only ones worthy of it. So then that's why the sun symbolism has the same thing. So it's all about the solar bark and going through as a chariot of the gods, going through the wheel and through the underworld, through the resurrection, through the rebirth, and then during the day, going through the sky, the highest point at midday, and then back down again and over and rebirthing and death and rebirth. That's part of our lives. We can continually remake ourselves into better versions of ourselves. That's the real wisdom. It's not about alleged afterlife and alleged rebirth and alleged karmic recycling and all this invented beliefs. It's all based in reality that really matters. That this information of narratives and stories encodes in an esoteric layer if you're capable of understanding it esoterically. Otherwise, believe in all the exoteric tales of the ka and the ba and the feeding it and your name and how your name is you and it's important, it represents you. And all these other beliefs that were expressed exoterically in the exoteric Book of the Dead and the exoteric Book of Gates and the exoteric funerary passages, and all that's literal. It's all true. This is the way it works, and this is the way the soul works and the spirit and blah, 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 and all that. Well, you can believe that if you want, but I'm saying that's, again, the exoteric layer that even if it is true, it does not matter in life. None of that stuff matters. Feeding your ka, feeding your ba, going through the weighing of the heart and this other place and then Osiris, it's none of it is real. But if you want to believe it's real and it has to do with being rebirthed or going to live in some eternal paradise somewhere else, even if that's true, it doesn't affect how you live your life. How you live your life and how you can continually renew yourself, which is what the real symbolism of the Hall of Ma'ati, the Hall of Judgment of two truths, the double truths, knowledge of good and evil. Once you understand the real deep knowledge, you cut through the exoteric layer and see that it's bullshit. And if you want to believe it's true, well, go ahead and believe in whatever you want to believe, which is what everyone does, and that's the problem we're in, is everyone believing whatever they want to believe. But once you understand the real knowledge of how to really create our reality and really improve our situation, which is what most of my work is talking about, trying to hammer that in, then you can see past the exoteric and you just laugh at it as ridiculous. So I got an option of believing the exoteric as the real knowledge in life and just leaving it there, that's what knowledge is, or I can actually understand this symbolism of these narratives and stories which tell an exoteric layer, but that exoteric layer is for manipulation into fantasy feel-good beliefs. Or you can actually see that those are not the real teachings that underlie the symbolism, that the real symbolism about real life that's important and not about fantasies and beliefs and souls and spirits and afterlives and all these other things and other planes and dimensions. None of that matters in my life. I don't live there. And if I die and I go there, well then so what? I'll deal with that when I get there. I don't need to know that now. It has nothing to do with me living my life here. So the real knowledge is about here and now, this reality, where we live, and how to live in this reality. Not about other beings, archons, and blah, 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 all this other shit. I don't care about it. It has nothing to do with my life here and now. If you're saying, oh, that's the underlying structure of the universe, and this is just the fantasy reality, the projection, and those other dimensions where they live, well, they're the reason we were created the way we are, and this false reality is created from that more real reality. Well, I don't give a shit. Go believe your fantasy bullshit and live whatever you want to live. I'm going to live morally and good, and screw any other entities that want to live evil and try to create this world to be evil. I don't care, you want to believe this world's a fantasy reality, and it's all an illusion, and the real reality's somewhere else in some other plane, some other dimension. Go believe whatever the hell you want. I'm tired of that bullshit. I'm grounded in reality. The information I present is about reality that we live in, not about some fantasy concoction in some other dimension or reality or plane. So, everybody, get grounded in reality. Get back into the knowledge that can actually change your life here and now. Not fantasies about when you die, where you're going to go, how your life's going to be when you die, and all this other shit. Who cares about that? We need to focus our time and attention, the limited time and attention we have in our lives, to really know this information about good and evil, about morality and immorality, about right and wrong, and all that other shit about other dimensions and other planes and astral, remote, and aliens and all this crap. Who cares? Is any of that going to get you to change your life so that you can live in a more moral way? No. Unless you believe in it and you're all in fear. Oh, I gotta do this so that I don't have to be recycled into this world. I wanna go back home to the fifth dimension, so I gotta live according to Ma'at. I gotta do what's good because I don't wanna come back here. I gotta fix my karma. I don't want my karma to send me back here. I wanna go back to my real home. In the fifth dimension, in la 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 fantasy land. So yeah, there's a lot of beliefs that can make you change your way and be good. That's what all of religion is. Do what we say, do these virtues, whether they're good or not. Do what we say, or else you're going to hell and the devil and the pitchfork up your ass your whole for eternity, and you're going to be burned alive for eternity. Well, I don't want to be burned alive for eternity. I better do that. And then the Egyptians is, well, I don't want to have my heart eaten by the Amit monster and go into annihilation, because that's what it was. It wasn't you get rebirthed and recycled. It was if you don't pass the 42 negative confessions and weighing your heart against the feather of truth in order to get accepted by Osiris and into the land of the reeds and the paradise, the eternal life, if you fail and you get eaten by the Amit monster, you don't get recycled and rebirthed on earth. No, you get annihilated. You're gone from existence. So there's even more fear. Whoa, I don't even get to go to hell. I'm removed from existence completely. Boy, I don't want that. I better live according to the authority and the dictates of what they tell me Ma'at is and the good is. I better do what they tell me because I don't want to go to that annihilation zone. And for other beliefs, it's I don't want to go to hell. And other people, oh, well, I don't want to be rebirthed into this planet. Oh, this prison of Earth. I don't want to be rebirthed here. I better believe in my new age bullshit of the fifth dimensional living. Anyways, that's my little rant on the importance of real grounded information in reality that actually matters, that we can live by, versus fantasy concoctions that have to do with possibilities of inventions from your imagination and other people's imagination, which may be true, it may not be true, and even if it is true, it has no bearing on you living a moral life. If you want to be moral and be good. It has nothing to do with all these other justifications and the fear of death and all this. So I don't want to be rebirthed and recycled and oh, I want to reach heaven instead of hell and all these justifications. It's called being good to be good and be right to be right and be moral to be moral. No other justifications. That's when you're actually being more moral and being more good, being more right. It's because there are no justifications for you to do it other than for it itself, for the good itself, for the right itself, for morality itself, and for truth itself. Because you understand that's the only way to create a heaven on earth, to get to the paradise, the eternal life, here and now, because it's symbolic. So you want to believe it in the literal aspect of somewhere else? Well, you go right ahead, and you go and believe that, and have fun. Run with that all day long and all night long, and waste your time and attention on discussions about these topics, which have no bearing of your life here and now and into the future. None whatsoever. But go ahead and waste your time. So the ruined mouth is the womb, the oval from the Ankh. And this is where the good spirit is. As I was saying, the air symbolism, higher consciousness thought, that's where the good spirit is. If you take the infinity symbol and you have good on top and bad on the bottom and you put it over the cross, We have the top part is good and the bottom part evil. And if you look at the main image, the featured image in the part two of the elemental quaternity, you'll see that aspect of the blue on top and the red on the bottom and the good and evil and the choices we make from our desires to the deeds we produce. So the good is the spirit, the air, the sky, the sun. That's why it's above. It's all the same symbolism. That's why you can take the wheel of fortune in the tarot card, symbolizes the sun, and you put it, you shrink it and you put it as the infinity symbol, one on top, one on the bottom. Well, one's the light sun and one's the dark sun. One's the light sun of higher consciousness and one's the dark sun of lower consciousness. So Ru is also Ru in French, and Ru is a road, a path, and that's the way to heaven above. Is this oval, the circuit that we go around, the Ouroboros, the infinity, repetitive loop, is the road, the path, and the way to heaven above. It's to higher consciousness. You're supposed to put to death what is bad and rebirth and resurrect yourself into higher consciousness, and then again put to death the things that you find out are negative, and then resurrect yourself into a more positive way. So I've explained this in the previous one on elemental quaternity, so check that out. The wheel of the zodiac is the way path for the chariot. So if you go look at the symbolism of the solar bark, the wheel of the zodiac, the solar bark as the chariot, it goes around the wheel. The wheel of the zodiac, the wheel of time, fortune, fate, destiny, dharma, karma, is the way and path for the chariot, the solar bark, to embark into the afterlife and immortality. After weighing the desires and cares and deeds and actions against truth, morality, Ma'at's feather. The Irish Torah is also a boundary and a border, which is what this symbolizes as well, is because we're trying to create in that elemental quaternity, the four elements, we're trying to create within the boundaries of Ma'at's feather, morality, truth, natural moral law. So the Torah, the wheel of Torah, the wheel of fortune, the wheel of fate, the wheel of dharma, destiny, karma, is all about respecting boundaries of laws and what is right, good, and true. And you live within those boundaries, and you go round and round, and you create that afterlife and the immortality, not a literal immortality where you live forever, but it's all symbolic of a better place, of a truer life, a realer life, a higher life. And that's the afterlife, that's the immortal life, that's the paradisical life. And it's while here and now, us, it's not some other imagined fantasy place. That's the exoteric layer, to get you to believe and feel good about how you're not going to die and you don't have to fear death and blah, blah, blah. I've talked about this in other presentations. So this is the wheel of dharma, karma, time, fortune, fate, and destiny. The boundaries of behavior for living the right way and path. It's cause and effect. Input, output, output, input, input, output, output, input. Round and round it goes. Cause and effect. Check out causality and consciousness symbolism part two. You'll understand that more. Specifically in that one, but in part one, as well as the previous presentation on elemental quaternity and my other work, eventually it'll make sense to you. So that's infographic number one. That was a summary of pretty much what the presentation is going to be about. So I started off with a summary this time rather than end with it. So we're going to be going from the Ka, the A, and the T, and seeing how that's bull symbolism, bull derived as well. Infographic number two. So the Egyptian word for bull is Ka, or cow, with a U. And if you know our word for cow, it's cow, which is Ka as a female, which is the bull is the male, the Ka, and the cow is the female, the cow. So you see where our word for cow comes from? It comes directly from the word for bull. The ka and the cow, the bull was the ka and the cow is the cow. And you have the bull symbol or the cow symbol. Either way, you can't really tell masculine or feminine. They both have horns. And you have the two arms upraised, which I've talked about in the previous presentation. Those are both ka in Egyptian. The bull is presented as a symbol of power with an Egyptian language meaning of ka, where ka, bull, and power are all interchangeable and refer to the pharaoh and his ultimate chiefdom. So I have some notes on this, but briefly, as I mentioned before in this presentation and the other one, I think, pharaoh is the one with the most divine ka, the ka of the gods, the pharaoh had. He was the one that dictated, that followed Ma'at the most closely that other people were to follow, so they were the divine representative of gods, as usual in the priestly control rulership game that's been going on for thousands of years. So the pharaoh had the ultimate power, the ultimate chiefdom, the ultimate authority, strength, and energy from the gods, as a divine ruler from the gods. And that's where ka comes from, and the bull symbolism, because the bull was the powerful animal of the fields. They were the king of the fields, and the power symbolized through that, and the fertility, and the strength, and the energy, just as the lion, which is another important symbolism in Egypt, as well as the four elements, but with regards to the king of the jungle, and the power and the strength the lion has, well, the bull has it for the fields and the working. So the pharaoh had the highest ka, the gods had the highest ka, because it's the power and authority, and it means it also referenced your alignment with Ma'at, because the gods lived in Ma'at. Humans were to live in Ma'at according to the pharaoh, who had the most ka like the gods, and the ka was your actions, so either your actions live up to Ma'at or they don't. So the more your actions live up to Ma'at, the more powerful your ka is supposed to be. So here I have some images of referencing the ka, the two arms, as well as the symbolism of the sun, the power, the energy, and the horns, which is what the two arms are, and the bull. The bull has the horns has the sun between it. The ka, the arms, have actions and the power of our actions. In other images, you can see the ka arms of Nun holding up the solar bark, so holding up the sun. We also have some directly with the Djed pillar, the Ankh, and the ka holding up the sun as well. So it's all having the sun in us and holding it up in our actions, in our minds, in our consciousness, the power, the energy of higher consciousness. That's why it's always the horns are on the head as rays emanating towards the sun, and you have the sun in between it holding it. It's all about higher consciousness and higher living, more moral living. That's what it's all about. You want to believe all the other exoteric fantasy stories? Well, you go ahead and believe them and have fun with that. I'm telling you what it's really about in real life. And here's a little clip of different ka uses. So there's the ka as the bull. With, again, you have... Another big symbol for power and fertility was the penis itself. So the first highlighted in yellow is the ka symbol with the penis, and then the bull determinative. So it's saying ka, it's representing the ka, the bull, as a symbol of power and fertility and strength and energy. Because you have the ka arms, actions and deeds, which creates our future and where we're going. That's the power we have to create our own futures. You have the penis symbolizing that power, and the bull itself. And then down below you have a ka bull, but without the penis, so just the ka arms, and the determinative of a bull, to reference that we're talking about a bull. And then you have the ka, I believe that's the eagle from the letter A, and then the determinative of a man. So it's talking about the soul, spirit, essence, personality, fortune, will, the different ways that Egyptologists have interpreted Ka. But essentially, it is your you as a person, a consciousness, a soul, a self that acts through your arms, the Ka, which is the spirit essence and nature of your moral character. And that's what determines who you are as a personality, as your character, who you are, and that determines the fortune, the fate, and the destiny you will receive. It's through your arms and the actions and what you do in the world. And what you do is ultimately from your will and the care and the courage you have to act upon it, whether good or evil, whatever. So I guess that's the end of infographic 2. Infographic number 3. So here we're going to get into the A and how it comes from the bull. So you see the letters A and T is bull symbolism. As I've mentioned before, we have the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and the Aleph and the Tav, the Aleph and the Tau. So the A and the T, Aleph A, and the Tau is T. So it's from the A to the T, the beginning and the end. And the beginning and the end all come from the bull. This is how important the bull is. There's other people who want to say, oh, it's the Ram and the Aries and the Zodiac and the Ram. It's the most important. And it starts, as I mentioned, in Elemental Quaternity, the Zodiac is highly manipulated and misconstrued in terms of symbolism of reality. It might work as its own symbolic model, but it doesn't reflect reality completely accurately. So you want to put all your emphasis on the Ram and the Aries? Well, actually, the big emphasis is on the bull, because the word for God, El, and Al, like Allah, all come from the letter A, the bull, as you will see. It doesn't come from Ram. Ram isn't God. So yes, there's Atum, who had some Ram depictions, but Atum was also the bull of the Ennead. So the bull has far more significance in symbolism in Egypt and elsewhere across the planet than the Ram does. The Ram is secondary. The Ram is the age that came after the age of the bull, so when that age became more prominent, then the Ram symbolism became more prominent, I suspect, as well. And it supplanted the bull symbolism in terms of favor, because that was the current age that they were in. And Rams have horns like bulls. Some Rams have horns like bulls, but most of the Ram symbolism is not like a bull, and all you need to do is look at the Zodiac. And you'll see the bull horns, they go outwards, and the Ram horns, they curve inwards, because the Ram isn't the same as the bull. And if you look at all the symbolism, and all the horn headdresses, and all the symbolism of power in the head, and the horned headdresses, and that relates to the feather headdresses, and all that's about the emanations of the horns, and like the emanations of the rays of the sun, and higher consciousness, it's all about higher consciousness symbolism. Those horns that they use are most of the time cow's horns, bull horns, symbolic of those horns, not of the ram horn for higher consciousness, as many people, I'll just say Santos Bonacci, and he's all about the ram and the ram. Well, that's because he's an Aries, so he has that personal attachment and projection outwards that way. So I'm ram too, a sheep, goat, I'm Capricorn, but I don't put any emphasis, oh, Capricorn's so special, and yay, yay, yay. But anyways, it's the ram in astrology, it's first, but who cares? It's not the most important. It's not the God. It's not the higher consciousness. The bull is supposed to symbolize that. As all you have to do is look into the etymology. All you have to do is look into the alphabet. It's all sourced in reality. You don't have to believe in some invented astrological model. It puts Ram as the pinnacle. It wasn't the pinnacle. The bull was the pinnacle. The bull was superior. But in the astrological system, the ram has that position of being first, and then it's the bull. But just go look at the alphabet. Just go look at how it was derived. Just go look at the symbolism, and you'll dispel all of that false conceptualizations and projections through the astrological symbolism. All that will be dispelled and you'll see things clearly. It's not the ram, it's the bull. The bull is central. So I said at the first slide, the alphabet wasn't, or I guess it's not in this one, it's later. Not in the first one, but later. The alphabet was invented at the time of, in the age of the bull. That's when the alphabet was invented. And all the symbolism that goes around with it, the horns, the sun and the horns, the ka is the horns, the ka is the bull, the ka is the arms, the action, the sun, the higher consciousness, the rays emitting. Once you connect everything, you'll see clearly the importance of bull and horn symbolism and how it doesn't derive from ram horn symbolism. It derives from bull horn symbolism and cow horn symbolism. And there's been other people, like, in my research, I was looking for, you know, who's got what to say on Aleph and the ox, and there was a true theorist, which is a popular etymology. I don't like that person's work myself. I find it very loose and very imaginative and very stretched out, tenuous connections. I tried to watch the one on the ram and Abraham, and it was just too much stretching of the connections, and it wasn't concrete enough. Anyways, they are all about the ram too, and the importance of the ram and civilization and Bible and everything. Yeah, for that specific time period, the age of the ram, when that occurred, sure, there were things written in the importance, but before that was the age of Taurus, and that was the more important one. And all you have to do is look at the letter A, the letter T, and the source of the alphabet itself. That it comes from Egypt, and the importance of the bull and the cow in Egypt, and you can just see the importance of the bull and the cow everywhere in civilization. It's in Sumer, it's in Anatolia, it's everywhere, it's in Mithras, is it Crete? The island of Crete. It's all over the place. The bull is far superior in terms of symbolism importance than the ram. It's obvious once you see it. The evidence is there. You just have to find it. I didn't know it was there until I searched. I was looking into Egypt and the ka and the bull, and then eventually I found all of this on the letter A and the letter T and the ankh and the alphabet. It was a great journey. I've had this done many, many months. But I've been trying to see how to present it and reformulate it. And so the past few days I've been fixing it up a bit just to make it presentable, and I'm just going to present. This is how our alphabet was invented, and it's the importance of the bull symbolism. And it relates to the ka and karma. Okay. So bull, apis, aleph, alpha, a. We have the ka, which is the bull or cow, the power, strength, and fertility. So we can see here, the second image, the ancient letter Aleph started as the picture of an ox. So from the ox to the proto-Canaanite head ox bull system, bull symbolism. So they're saying it's an ox, but it's actually a bull, because an ox is a castrated bull which has had its power and its fertility and its strength removed. So it still works in the field, so it still has power and strength that way, but it's not a symbol of fertility because it's no longer a bull, it's an ox. But the word ox itself is important, so we'll see that later. As you can see, from the head to the tilted head and to the A, to another type of A, slanted. Eventually, you see it becomes the letter Aleph, and that's a nail with two hands attached to it, as is mentioned in the little picture on the right side, which you probably can't read. So from there, you get the modern Hebrew Aleph. And then you get cursive, middle cursive, starts to look like a K, just like as the previous A looks like a K, which I'm going to relate later. The A and the K is completely related. The A, K, and T, and the D and the K, and the D and the T, and the Ka, it's all related to the bull. So then we have our A. So this is how the letter A, this symbol, this little graphic here, says it all. From the bull to the head, and then the variations of shifting that head around and the different shapes it created. And at the bottom, bottom left, you can see the head, the Apis bull, to the letter A, the Phoenician Aleph, and then the Greek Alpha, and then the Roman A, and again below that, the Egyptian ox or bull cow head, and then the Sinai, the Proto-Sinaitic ox bull cow head, and then to the A, the Phoenician Aleph, then the Greek Alpha, and then the Roman A. And again, we have another depiction. So here we have the letters A, K, M, N, O, P, and their source symbolic derivations that later derived into abstract symbols. So the ox head to the Proto-Sinaitic head, and then the sideways Phoenician A, and then the downwards A. So it goes from the upwards horns to the beak of the mouth. So it's an inverse A, is how the ox horns, the bull horns, the cow horns start off as. You have the nose as the bottom of the A, and then the two arms of the A, there are the two horns pointing out, and the top of the head is the capping of the A. So when you have the A normally, you just reverse it, and when you turn the A upside down, you can see a cow, bull, ox head. The symbolism should be really apparent to you. Turn the A upside down, and you see the two horns, and then the V is the head. The same shape. Should be obvious. So the Egyptians also had the hand, but for them there was the D. But when the D was brought into the Semitic, the Phoenician and Semitic Hebrew, started off as the Semitic and the Phoenician, the D became a K. So the K, the open hand, the palm, in Proto-Sinaitic is the palm again, but that becomes the K. But you can see the K and the A relate in their appearances. In the Phoenician, the A has the horns going to the right, and the K has the horns going to the left. And the only thing there isn't is the little V part cut off by the line. But it's the same symbol. So when you look at Ka, and the K and the A, and the upright arms, and how it means bull as well, when you look at A and how it comes from not the bull itself, but from the bull's head, and the K comes from hands, and the hands, well, that relates to the arms, which is the Ka, the K, and the A, and the A was the head of the bull, and the hands relates back to Ka, and the K and the A are the same shape, essentially, and there are derivations. At some point, you'll see it in other languages and other slides, how the A looks like a K in other languages, and the K looks like an A, and how they're very related. And you have the T. So the D and the K are related, and the D and the T are related in languages. And the Ka will relate to the T because the T uses the sun cross symbolism, and the Ka in other languages, K-A, is also described using sun cross symbolism as well. So all these things are linked. The sun, the cross, the bull, Aleph, Alpha, A, K, D, T, consciousness, it's all related. It's all trying to explain aspects of reality and our consciousness. And we derive symbols for that, and then eventually they become more abstract letter representations. And on the bottom right, I just wanted to show, I think that's the Apis bull or the Minervus bull. And you just see the X's, the crosses, it has wings, the wing symbolism of higher consciousness. I think it's the vulture, because it's supposed to be of the cow. I think Minervus is the cow, I'm not sure. And you have the X, the cross, the wing, higher consciousness, the sun, higher consciousness, the horn, higher consciousness. That's why the bull and the cow, the great goddess, mother goddess, Hathor, maybe Isis, you have Bat and Hathor. I forget, one with an N, Naphthys. Anyways, the bull, cow, horn, very important in symbolism in terms of reality and ourselves and understanding things. And it all relates to the sun and the consciousness and the power and the strength and the energy from the sun and the consciousness relating, and that how that relates to our arms and our hands and the deeds and the actions that produce changes in our reality that affect what we get in time, in fortune, in fate, in destiny, in dharma, in karma. All right, well, I guess that's it for infographic number 3. Infographic number 4, here we just have just a proof of where the A comes from in a chart that the site has, as well as the letter T. So you have A again, the ox, bull, cow, head, and then to the Phoenician sideways, A. And then you have, you even have the Punic here as an X. So you, as I've shown in the previous infographics, where I had on the sidebar, well, you'll see it in later ones too, on the sidebar on the right, where I had the ka, and then two lines of the two arms, then we cross that to make an X. You tilt it 45 degrees, you get the T from the X. The T, you put the ankh, and then you remove the ankh, and you get the Tau cross. And there's from A to T and Ka, and it's all related to the bull. So even in here, in Punic, the A, as I've shown, the two lines cross, and the ox head, and the Ka comes from the ox. And the horn symbolism and the arm symbolism, the horn symbolism are the same. Now they reference and correspond. So here the Punic in the A is the X. So you have an X. And you, even the Aleph, the which we have here at the bottom right, Aleph is a nail and two hands. Again, two hands of action. With the nail to join them. And that looks like an X. Looks like a cross. So even the A itself, at least in the Semitic symbolism, the Hebrew letter Aleph, it looks like a cross. It looks like an X. So the A, at one time, looked like an X as well. It comes from the bull. The T, the Tau cross, relates to the Ankh and the X, and comes back, relates to the Ka and the Cow, and the ankh directly to the thoracic vertebrae, so it all relates back to the ox and the cow and the bull. And here we have the T, so we have the cross, and then we have X, and then back to the cross again, and then, yeah, so it's between crosses and T's is how it's used, even in the modern age, I guess. So the T, X, cross, Tau, and the A. The T, the X, cross, the Tau, relates to the bull, the thoracic vertebrae from the Ankh, also back to the Ka from the bull, and the arms crossed, which gets the cross, gets you back to the T, and then you get to the bull, just the head, instead of the whole bull as the Ka, just the head is the A, the Aleph. So that's the, this is, essentially here is the A and the T, the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So the beginning and the end of the alphabet, in this way of representing it as the Aleph and the Tau, the Aleph and the Tav, is the beginning and the end, and they both come from the bull. So the bull is at the beginning of the alphabet, and the bull's at the end of the alphabet. The cow's at the beginning, the cow's at the end. The cow symbolism, the bull symbolism, is central to ancient symbolism, especially in Egypt, which is where all of this started from. How I got to this point of understanding was by going into Egypt and looking at the symbolism and how it relates to reality. So on to infographic number 5. Here again we have the same head to the A symbolism. On the right, here I'm showing another one relating the bull, Taurus, and cross, the sun, the A, and the Aleph. So here you, here's an infographic someone made where you have the ox symbol, so you have the circle, the sun symbol with the two horns. So there's the Taurus symbol. We also have the X, as the X is related to T and the Tau and the ox, and the bull and the cow. We have them together, but look at what that does. When you have the sun symbol with the horns, and you have the X of the cross sun symbol, the two sun symbols together, well, what does that look like? Well, that's ox. There's the word ox, right there, in the sun symbol. Sun symbolism of bull symbolism joined together, and it creates the word ox. So that's why I think that many people use the word ox when they're referring to the symbolism rather than the more fertile, more strong symbolic bull, which still has the life-creating capacities. I think people refer to it as ox because of this aspect of how the O, again the Ru. So even in the Ankh, when you have the Ankh symbol, as I mentioned before, the Ru and the cross, and you put the Ru over the top arm of the cross, and you get the Ankh symbol. If you take that cross and you turn it over 45 degrees as the X, as the two arms crossed over, you get the X. If you take the Ru and you don't put it over the cross upright, but you put it on top above the X, the Ru, instead of an Ankh becoming an Ankh with the cross, the Ru with the cross becoming an Ankh, well, the Ru with the cross as an X, you get the word ox instead of the symbol for the Ankh. So that's another way that maybe the word ox was created, because it has the same symbolism as the thoracic vertebrae and the same symbolism as the Ankh, and relates to the additional oval Ru, mouth, gateway, womb, added on top of the sun symbolism of the cross. So the sun symbol, the circle, on top of the sun symbolism of the cross, instead of making the Ankh, you turn it as the cross becomes an X instead of a T. You put that sun symbol, Ru, on top, and then you get your word for ox. And then here I have a little mock-up that I made myself of the Tau cross with the Taurus, the Tau, and the Ru, the Tau-Ru, the Taurus, the Tau and the Ru, the Tau-Ru, the Taurus. Taurus symbol on top of the Tau symbol, and you still get something like the Ankh, especially if you flip the head over where your horns would match up with the arms of the cross, then your horns would match up with the top part of the cross, and you just have a circle with a Tau cross, and then you'd get your Ankh again. From the Tau Ru, Taurus, astrological symbol, you can see how it relates to the Ankh, and the bull symbolism is very strong in many places. So in the middle, this is from, I don't remember where I got it. That's why I have it in quotes. It's not from me, it's from somewhere else. So we have the An Ki symbol. And An is heaven, and the sun, An, and Ki is earth. If you look at the Sumerian, this is what it is. So we have this symbol, An Ki, and this is also the feminine body shape, and it's also the shape of this infinity symbol. So An Ki is heaven and earth joined together. The two triangles joined together represent the joining of the heaven and the sun and the earth. So the Lakota symbol for sun-earth connection is the inverted triangle on top, symbolizes the stars and or the sun. The triangle on the bottom symbolizes earth sites. So normally people are like, oh, well, the top triangle always symbolizes masculine and the bottom triangle always symbolizes the feminine. Well, here we have the feminine sun, the feminine stars. As I've been saying, the air symbolism, and the air is the upright triangle, and you want to say, oh, that's always masculine. No, all, as I mentioned in Elemental Quaternity, all the four symbolisms I see feminine, highly, highly feminine in all four symbolism, and masculine as well, but I see feminine in all four, and the earth and water, I still see masculine and feminine as well. So don't get stuck up in the gender aspects. So here, downward triangle, feminine, sure, the stars and the sun, knowledge and truth. And the upward triangle, earth, sure, but then there's the Mother Earth. Oh, so then shouldn't Mother Earth be the downward triangle? It all depends on how you want to describe it. Just don't get locked into it always needing to be a certain way. Just understand it within the context. So the context here, inverted triangle, above, the stars and the sun, knowledge and truth in the bottom, is the earth. The Lakota strongly believe that there is a powerful connection between the sun and the earth. Much of their culture has been directly influenced and shaped by centuries of solar observation. As many of the ancient cultures observed solar observations, astrological, astronomical observations, planetary observations, and derived symbolic references of knowledge. First there's the exoteric knowledge of that direct astronomy and sun and astrotheology, and then there's the esoteric encoding of wisdom about reality through the symbolism in reality about the movement of the sun, the movement of the constellations, the shapes and figures that we project and associate with certain star patterns. We give one, that's the snake, that's the dragon, that's the bull, that's the lion, that's the lamb, that's the this, that, and the other. We're the ones creating these shapes in the stars. We're the one projecting the symbols onto them in order to give them meaning as a reference to aspects of knowledge that we've derived. We're using it as a pictogram, as a hieroglyph, as an abstract letter. That's what all these symbols are. They're just representations of other parts of knowledge using this symbolism, using a letter, using a bullhead, using a bull itself, using a constellation. It's all symbols. In the book Lakota Star Knowledge by Ronald Goodman, you can learn why the Lakota consider the buffalo to be the embodiment of solar power and how the teepee symbolizes living inside the sun. So you can look at the Anki symbol in the earth and the heaven. When you look at the teepee, you have the bottom part of the teepee hut is where people live, and the top part that protrudes isn't in the same dimensions. It's only a little bit cross-protruding to form an upside-down triangle, inverted triangle, where the smoke in the teepee escapes from. But that's the shape of the teepee, is a very large triangle where people are in, and then the protruding ends of the logs that stick out, they're not as long as the parts where people are living in, but they still form the basic Anki symbol, which is living inside the sun. And at the bottom here, there's a progression of 8 images. So the calendar signs by, I guess, this guy Moran. So 1, the Roman letter A, 2, the old Hebrew Aleph, the ox, 3 is the modern Greek alpha. So you can see, again, that it's partially an infinity sign. See that Greek? It's partially like an infinity sign. It looks like the Jesus fish, too. So you can see, where does the Jesus fish symbol come from? The Jesus fish symbol comes from directly from where? From the cow, bull, ox, horn, head symbolism. And if you look at the astrological symbol, there it is, just turned on its right. If you turn it to the left, with the horns up, well, there's the astrological symbol for the bull, for Taurus. And there's half the infinity sign, with the top part cut off, as I mentioned. And there's the ox. If you look at that, you can see an O, and you can see an X, which is what I put right to the side. I put the O and the X, I squished them together, and it gives you exactly the Jesus fish symbol, 3/4 of the infinity sign, I guess. And there's ox. So I can understand people's overemphasis of the word ox because of the symbolic derivations it has. But in terms of the source symbolism, it's not the ox, it's the bull and the cow, which actually have the fertility and the power of life-giving and life-creating and life-generating. The ox can't do that. The ox can work in the field, but it doesn't have any testicles anymore to produce life. That's the psychopathic, predatory dominator man creating, all these evil things. Oh, we're going to castrate the animal. Right, because I'm sure the animal was loving that. That's a moral society to live in. All the people who are, Egypto-centric and full of blind infatuation and they're just ready to have an orgy with ancient Egypt because they're blinded by all the teachings and all the teachings on Ma'at and morality and the Ka. It all paints a picture, but you didn't live there and you don't understand priest control rulership mechanisms of convincing people to do good in order to keep them in line with the ruler and the ruler of the divine rulership. And it's all fantasy bullshit. It's been done for thousands of years across all nations, and you think one nation on the earth, well, they're the exception, and they use the same manipulative schemes of divine rulership, and the divine rulership and the Ka was only in the ruler, and he was the most powerful and the most moral, and represented everybody and represented the rulership of Ma'at on the earth, and it's all the same bullshit over and over. But no, your one country is so special because you're the source of much of the symbolism, you're the source of our alphabet, you're the source of many other cultures, of many other aspects of traditions and symbolism in other cultures. But you're the perfect one. There was no crime, there was no evil, nothing was done that was bad, and the Pharaoh was a great guy, and everything was good, and he was perfect, and it's like fantasy living, fantasy in your mind, that you think that the stories you receive about how things were is actually how they were, and how perfect they were. You don't understand priests and controllers and powers and rulership and stories and narratives and symbols and manipulation and the whole divine rulership. Anytime you have that, you have manipulation. You have people being slaves for the master. And that's not moral living. No matter how moral, even if it's more moral than we're currently living, it wasn't a perfect moral living. They might have been better in some ways, but they weren't a perfect society. It was just more convincing, more control over people to convince them to follow the rules of living because of, again, fear of death, 42 negative confessions, fear of annihilation, where if you don't pass your 42 negative confessions, the Amit monster eats you and you get annihilated into existence. You don't even get rebirthed. You don't get to the eternal life, but you don't even get to be rebirthed. You just get annihilated. So that'll put you into a fear. Boy, I'm going to follow that divine rulership of my Pharaoh. I don't want to end up eaten by the Amit monster. Same thing in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, whatever. It's all a bunch of bullshit to control people. Time for people to wake up and stop being so infatuated and attached to yourself, to your ancestry, and the ancestral fallacy. Just because they're your ancestors, you're going to view them as perfect because you want to believe yourself and your ancestors to be perfect and good. Get over yourself. So, number four here is the old Greek alpha. Number five, we have the modern astrological symbol for Taurus, astronomical symbol. Under that, same shape, but it's the Chinese lunar symbol for the moon. And then under that, you have the Chinese lunar zodiac symbol, Niu, which is also means the ox. And then under that, you have the Chinese solar zodiac symbol, Chu, or old or original. And you can see how that looks like an A. So the solar symbol. The solar symbol, the ox, bull, cow symbolism, is very interlinked. God symbolism, A, Al. L, Al. A, Aleph, Alpha. Well, the God, L, Al, A, Aleph, Alpha. From the sun, from the cow, from the bull, from the ox. You see how it all relates? It's all interlinked. God and consciousness symbolism, and sun symbolism, and the cow, bull, ox symbolism are all interlinked very heavily. So the source of the earth symbol is A. You know, the earth symbol, the inverted triangle with the line across it? Well, look at number four here. The old Greek alpha. Doesn't that look like the earth symbol? The A? Again, Aleph from the ox, bull-cow symbolism. The A comes from the bull-cow symbolism. The Ka comes from the bull-cow symbolism. Taurus, putting it at the bottom of the wheel. The symbol for earth and the four elements from Taurus, from the inverted A. The inverted triangle with the line is the inverted A, which comes from the bull, the ox, the Taurus. It's all interlinking. It's all coming back upon each other. It all corresponds. It's beautiful once you can see it. The source of the air sun symbol is the same, but inverted. See number 8. We have number 4, which was the old Greek alpha, the upside down A, which looks like the earth symbol, the triangle with the line across it. And then you have the air symbol, which was the upright triangle with a line across it, which is the symbol 8. It has the same thing as the A, so the air symbol is the same but inverted as the earth symbolism. So that's why the air and the earth are opposites, because they come from the same symbolism as well. So the next slide, number 6, this is just text. A lot of explaining to bring in some symbolism. So the bull, cow, ox, apis, we have A, Aleph, Aleph, Alpha. This relates to power, strength, energy, force, leader, authority, first, God, as well as consciousness. God, El, Al, A, Sun, and consciousness are the creative source of life, or, quote, life. I have life in quotes because I refer to the literal life of the sun, right, that provides literal life for plants to grow and life to exist, and then quote life as an our life of human life, of higher life, of realer life, of more truer, authentic life. So, God, El, Al, A, sun, and consciousness are the creative source of life and symbolically correspond to each other. The sun, God, and bull-cow symbolism are intimately linked in many ways, as I've already shown already. An ox is a castrated bull with no more life force of fertility. The symbolism of life force, power, etc. is for the sun as well, corresponded through the bull-cow symbolism. So force and power, strength, energy, leader, authority, first, that is all associated with God. That's why the Aleph, the word for a God, El, Al, comes from Aleph, from the letter A. The first letter in the alphabet. This comes from the bull, cow, ox, or apis head, to derive the letter A for Aleph, to represent God, to represent power, strength, energy, force, leader, authority, first, which is what Ka represents through the bull, the Ka of our arms, our hands, and the deeds we can create, our actions into the future to create change in time. Well, those hands, those arms, that's power, strength, energy, force, leadership, authority, and what comes, I guess, first in well, not in terms of our consciousness, because we have our internal aspects that come first. But when you take it to the other symbolism of God and consciousness, that's what comes first, because that's the power, strength, and the energy, the force that we ultimately derive in the will of our actions comes from our internal consciousness, which has us deciding what we want to do in our lives. The cow is the actual generator and creator as the feminine source. The cow and bull have horns, ka, on their heads, which symbolize higher consciousness as the sun emitting rays of sun energy. That's why they're the horn symbolism, the horned headdresses for all the leaders and rulers. It's about power, strength, force, leadership, authority, being first in your clan, in the tribe, being a god in your clan or your tribe. That's what the horn symbolism is for. It's relating to the sun and higher power of God, and God is the sun. The emanating rays of the sun can be likened to horns that emanate from the head where consciousness is. So the head is where consciousness is. Horns emanate from the head where consciousness is. And that's likened again to the sun symbolism, where the sun, the head, consciousness, is emanating rays of light of sun, and that would be emanating the horns from the head. The sun and its rays are the power and energy for life on earth, as well as the symbolic light of truth to raise to a higher consciousness. So the sun rays are the power and life on earth, and comparatively for the bull cow head, the horns symbolize that power and energy through that animal, through the creative power it has, through the fertility of the penis and the fertility of the vagina and the creative power and the generation of the womb and the feminine to create and generate a new life. So that's the symbolism from the sun and its rays and the power and the energy of life on earth to the cow and the bull symbolism of that fertility and fecundity of life generating on earth, as well as the symbol of the rays for the light of truth to raise to a higher consciousness. Those horns also represent raising to a higher consciousness, a higher power, more authority, more higher consciousness, more elevation in your clan, and to rule and have authority. At least in symbolism, doesn't mean you do have that knowledge just because you put a hat on your head that has horns. Doesn't mean you're a god and you have the most authority and you're the most valid leader and the most strength and power and you're the smartest and highest in consciousness. Doesn't mean any of that. It's just a symbol to represent that meaning. So that's why the symbol, the imagery, people receive that imagery and automatically, oh, well, he's a leader. He is the authority. He has power. He has strength. People follow him. He's the god of that tribe. It's all because people believe in the symbolism. Symbolism is powerful. Imagery is powerful. This is the influence of word magic. It doesn't have to simply be word magic. Anything that you see and hear in your life has an influence and will affect you. That's the magic of reality and influence. Everything affects you. There's benign influence, and then there's willful influence, and the willful influence for a person's selfish, egoic will as a sorcerer, or the willful influence in terms of higher potential ideals of truth and morality, and that's a higher will, less selfish, and that would be the magician's use of will and influence. So talking about the rays and the horns and the higher consciousness, the cow-bull symbolism often has the sun disc between the horns. So not only are we talking about the sun and the higher consciousness and the rays of the sun emitting higher consciousness and the horns going up towards the sun for higher consciousness, a lot of the symbolism has the cow and the bull, as well as anthropomorphized, personified, and projected gods with horn symbolism on their head, or ka symbolism of the two arms, horn on their head, and in between that, in between the horns, is the sun disc, between the horns of the anthropomorphized god or goddess, or the anamorphized god or goddess, or the animal itself as the bull or cow horn itself, having the sun disc between it. And you also have the ka hands holding up the solar barge, the solar bark, and the ka hands holding up the solar disc or reaching up, aspiring to the solar disc, to higher consciousness, either holding it up or aspiring towards it. You can look at it that way. The power, strength, energy, and God as the sun is symbolized through this animal, the cow, bull, ox. Both the sun and bull symbolize the generator, creator, God that is consciousness in human animals of higher order consciousness. The sun, higher, and the air, the sky, the air, the sun, the rays emanating higher consciousness, the horns going towards higher consciousness, the arms of the ka reaching towards the sun disk, aspiring towards higher consciousness, is the sun symbol, the bull symbol, as the creator generators of our God consciousness, the Ankh symbol of where we're aspiring towards higher consciousness. That's us, consciousness in human animals of a higher order consciousness. We are the generator, creator, gods that reach for that higher consciousness. And we can emanate, we can aspire towards the higher consciousness of truth and morality, and then we can emanate once we reach the higher consciousness, once we become a Christ consciousness, a Christos, an anointed one, once we become a sun god as Christ was, we become a sun god, and then we emanate the rays of the sun, the rays of truth and light. We can emanate that from ourselves. First we aspire to it, and then we can inspire others with it. First we go towards what's being projected as the light, and then we become a projection of light ourselves. I have a note on that. as we are always the expressions of who we currently are, the truth of reality as it currently is, truth level one. This can be in expressing the truth of good or the truth of evil that we embody and perpetuate. The truth that we can aspire to choose to represent is based in moral truth, truth level two. The potential reality as an expression of certain ways of living in truth of morality as a truer self. When we live in the truth of morality, this expression of being exists through us. The truth and morality, or lack thereof, exists through us as expressed by us. We then are the truth or falsity, moral or immoral, good or evil, at the time of a particular expression, creating this expression into reality. If we were not embodying the particular moral or immoral principle, then it would not be expressed nor created to be expressed in the first place. We can be beacons of light or darkness, perpetuating good or evil in conscious, subconscious, or unconscious capacities. Higher order consciousness is very powerful. We can be expressions of truth and good, falsity and evil. It is up to us to have the knowledge of good and evil in order to determine the difference by comparison. We externalize what we express as a commonality amongst ourselves, and it becomes some outside force that we symbolize. Here's a quote from a guy who has a lot of knowledge on Egypt. The animal or animal-headed Neteru, gods or goddesses, are symbolic expressions of a deep spiritual understanding. When a total animal is depicted in ancient form, in ancient Egypt, it represents a particular function attribute in its purest form. When an animal-headed figure is depicted, it conveys that particular function attribute in the human being. The two forms of Anbu, Anubis, in the two illustrations shown here, clearly distinguish these two aspects. So I should remove that. It's just to show that different symbols in the animal form and the anthropomorphized human-animal form, and they represent different aspects as a pure concept itself, or as a function expressed through human beings, which is what I'm talking about. We are always expressions of who we currently are, which is what I was saying in the presentations. Of higher consciousness, as we aspire to it, and then we inspire others. First we reach for that projection, and we then project it ourselves, because the truth and the light is within us. And then we embody it and project it towards others, and we live it in our lives for other people to learn from, our living by example. It's all symbolism for knowing thyself. The sun is depicted with a face in many esoteric symbolism. Anthropomorphizing, personification, and projection of ourselves onto other symbols of reference is a tool for explanation about knowledge, especially self-knowledge. That's why we do all of this, create symbols and project, anthropomorphize and personify ourselves onto symbols and constellations and gods and Neteru and goddesses, is to represent aspects of ourselves and reality through symbols, but especially self-knowledge. So some cows are of a light brown, golden yellow color, symbolic of the sun. Again, more symbolism for the cow and the sun. The feminine aspect of the air sky is where the sun moves across for rebirth and resurrection. The sun sets in the west, and instead of traversing the earth, it can be mirrored to move through the night sky and the Milky Way path, which is the goddess Nut, or through the cow goddess, such as Hathor, Isis, Bat, within the solar bark on the way to resurrection. The feminine sky air is the home or house of the sun at day and night. Because in the day, the sun travels through the sky, as we can plainly see, but at night, the sun travels through the sky of the Milky Way, through Nut, the night sky. We don't see it, but it said it's traveling through her body. That's why we don't see it. So the sun, Ra, travels through the body, and then it gets birthed through the Nut's vagina, and it's out at dawn for the rebirth of the sun from the mother goddess Nut, giving birth to the sun every morning again. So Hathor, I'm saying the feminine sky air is the home and the house of the sun at day and at night, because Hathor is Hethor, which means house of Horus. So the house of Horus, Hathor, the cow goddess, where the sun bark travels through, the cow goddess, or the Milky Way as Nut, Either way, same symbolism of the feminine. It travels through the house of Horus, Hathor, Heth-Hor. It travels through the house of Horus. The Horus's house, the sun's house, is the sky. So in the day, it goes through the sky, the air, the feminine sky, air, heavens. And at night, it goes through the sky, the air, the feminine heavens as well, through the stars, through the Milky Way, as Nut, or as the great mother cow goddess, Hathor or Bat or others, and it goes through the cow and the solar bark through the cow. It's all the same symbolism, so that's why you have the Hathor, the cow, is the house of Horus, because the sun travels through the cow, through Hathor, through the house of Horus. The sun rests in the cow's horns, in Hathor's horns, at midday. So in the previous infographic, previous presentation on elemental quaternity, I had the Ra's sun positions during the day. In the morning at rebirth is Khepri. At night is Atum, I think. In the midday is Ra as Ra, as Horus, in its most in its highest, most powerful position as the zenith. When the sun's at its zenith, it's at its highest position in the day. So when the sun is resting at midday, it's resting in between the horns of the cow, in between Hathor's horns, in the house of Horus, the horns of the house of Horus. That's where it's most powerful, which is why the Ka, our hands and our arms and our deeds, needs to aspire to that air, sky, heaven symbolism, the sun symbolism, at its highest point in the midday, above where our head points upward, Samit, zenith, up to the sun, the most powerful position in the day, symbolizing higher life and consciousness in the upward sky direction in the air. And the Aleph alphabet was developed during the Taurus and Bull Age. So I'll tie up this aspect of pointing upwards and the zenith and the sun's aspect in the midday in two slides or three slides. First, I'll do infographic number 7 and 8. I have to do just with some images from Egypt just to give you a visual. So I've shown this in the previous presentation as well. This is just to show the importance of Hu and his Ka symbolism in upholding Nut, which is the sky, and Hathor, the cow, upheld by Nun. It's all the symbolism of upholding the house of Horus, where the sun travels in order to be rebirthed. So this is where the sun travels to be rebirthed at night, and it gets ejected in through the womb. Well, travels through Nut and then gets expelled through the vagina at sunrise, and that's the rebirthing of the sun every day. So here you have Shu with upholding with the Ankh, and he has the sun above his head in some cases, but Shu has the feather, and Shu is the counterpart to Tefnut, and Tefnut is Ma'at, and Shu is life, air and life. And I've talked about the symbolism of that in other presentations. And Ma'at has the feather of truth on her head, and originally Shu is the first one to have that feather as an anthropomorphized, personified, projected god. Ma'at is an original concept underlying everything. So it doesn't have a feather yet, but when the goddess Ma'at is personified and projected, it also has a feather to represent its counterpart as Ma'at Tefnut. The counterpart, spouse, twin, is Shu Life, and Shu Life has the feather as well, the feather, the air of feather. That's why Ma'at has the feather of truth. Well, the feather of truth is the feather bird, air, sky, sun symbolism, the light of truth. Well, the feather and air and bird also symbolizes truth and wisdom. And Shu is that air, that higher consciousness symbolism of air, feather, bird, sun, light. It's all about that higher consciousness. And he is upholding the ability for the sun to renew itself into greater degrees of higher consciousness higher self, truer self, realer self, and progressive degrees of self-renewal and self-rejuvenation, self-resurrection, rebirthing. And that's continually remaking your life into a better life, into a truer life, into a realer life, into a higher life, into a more paradisical life, into a more eternal life. And what's associated with eternal life and paradisical life? What's associated with heavenly life and paradisical life and creating a better life? Well, that's called eternity. That's called paradise. That's called immortality. That's what the real immortality is. That's what the real eternal eternity is. It has to do with creating heaven and paradise here based on our own self-renewal capacity. Infographic number 8. I've shown this one as well. I've added a few more. This is just to show the connection between the night sky, which is represented through Newt, and the Milky Way, and the traversal of the sun to be rebirthed again in the morning after traveling through Newt, through the solar bark, or instead of traveling through Newt and the Milky Way, it's Hathor as the cow, which is still the Milky Way and the mother goddess, and the Nile. The Nile as a reflection of the Milky Way and the great womb of the cosmos, and the sun being rebirthed through the Nile from the west to the east in the morning, and the same thing through the cow, same thing through Newt, and all has to do with the sun symbolism and the horns and the power and higher consciousness, higher life living. You can see the sun, the horns, the feather, higher consciousness, the head, resurrection, rebirth. It's all associated. It's all symbolism about how to live life and remake our lives. It's not about literally taking literal symbolism about the sun as a god and this is how it happens and we can do the same thing as the sun, and when we die, if we do the right things by feeding our ka and feeding our ba and living up to ma'at, well, then we can reach the eternal paradise of the reeds, being allowed in by Osiris when we weigh our hearts literally. Oh yeah, it's all literal things. No, it's not literal things. It's all symbolic. All of it is symbolism. And once you understand that, then you let go of your attachment to these literal interpretations, which are all fantasy and literal bullshit, priestly rulership controller manipulations through the science of imagery and narratives and stories to manipulate people. Once you let go of that, then you can actually see the real powerful imagery of the real ancient wisdom about realer life, higher life, truer life, more authentic life, here and now in this reality. It has nothing to do with other planes and other dimensions and paradises after you die and blah, 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 and all this other bullshit. Get rid of the exoteric layer of symbolism of understanding things and really go for the meaning behind real life. And it's not found in the exoteric. You have to go deeper to the wisdom that the imagery talks about at a deeper, more meaningful level. Not about fantasy exoteric imagery of things you want to be true because you fear death and you fear the insecurity and doubt and discomfort and all these other things that I've talked about many, many times before in relation to symbolism in my work that's been done before this. Alrighty. On to infographic number 9. This is more text. I'm just going to go quickly through it. This is just to relate this aspect of the dead and what it really means, and it's about self-resurrection and self-renewal here and now in reality. How this relates to the Book of the Dead and the Book of Gates, and how Babylon relates to the Book of Gates and the Gates and God and all symbolism in our head and the zenith. Anyways, we're going to see that right here. So the Book of the Dead is also called the Book of Coming Forth by Day, the Book of Emerging Forth into the Light. The Book of the Dead has many gates in the story. And the gates are related to some that have 12 gates or 15 or 17. It has to do with the zodiac, essentially, the 12 gates, the 12 signs. It has to do with self-knowledge and overcoming our demons. There's demons at the front of the gates. It's all the same symbolism, the same as the hero monomyth and the hero going into the underworld and battling demons to come back and be rebirthed, resurrected as an apotheosis, becoming a god himself, and all that symbolism. It's all about us becoming gods ourselves, remaking ourselves into higher consciousness, God-Son symbolism. So we rebirth into the day with the light of truth. That's what the book of coming forth by day, the book of the dead, has to do with how to not be a dead and how to come out of being dead and how to come into life. So the coming forth by day, the coming forth by day when you're resurrected in Kepri, the Kepri sun, the aspect of the sun in Kepri, is coming forth by day, resurrection in the morning. That's the book of emerging forth into the light. You were in the darkness, going through the underworld, traversing, battling your demons, etc., etc. Then eventually you rebirth yourself into a higher consciousness. You're emerging forth into the light. That's what this is all about. So this is also known as the pyramid text and the coffin text. Again, the pyramids, as I've shown in the elemental quaternity symbolism, the pyramids of wisdom, the wisdom, the capstone of wisdom, reaching towards the higher truth of the light and the stars and the sun, and also the coffin of resurrection, how you're in the coffin. When you're in the tomb, in the coffin, in the graveyard, you're in lower consciousness, lower beastly amoral consciousness, and you're not aware of things. So you need to get off of the checkerboard floor, wake up out of the coffin of the tomb of the graveyard, and begin to care for truth. Rebirth, resurrect, reawaken yourself. So there's that first initial reawakening out of the coffin. And then there's each time you put to death the book of the dead, you put to death something false within you that you are currently embodying and living and exemplifying and embodying and projecting and perpetuating. Well, after you put it to death, then you come forth into the day, into the light of the truth. You rebirthed into the day. You rebirthed out of that deadened state in the coffin, in the tomb, in the graveyard, and you come out of that. And that's the continual process. There's the initial process of first caring for truth, that first awakening out of the first coffin. But then there's all the states that were still deadened. We have to continually put to death all that evil, falsity, shadow, negative, demon, darkness. And then we can renew ourselves into the light. By extinguishing the darkness and bringing ourselves into the light, that's continuously renewing ourselves out of the coffin, tomb, and graveyard into this alchemical self-renewal process of resurrection, rebirth, etc. So there's another book called the Book of Gates, and this is the same knowledge as the Book of the Dead and the Pyramid Text and the Coffin Text. They both have to do with the underworld and the netherworld and passing and crossing over. And passing and crossing over, as I've already mentioned, you take your two arms, the Ka, and you cross them over on your chest, it makes the cross. You can go look at passing over, crossing over symbolism, which I've discussed in part two of Eternal Elemental Quaternity, the previous presentation I did. So we have the gate. The gate is the mouth, the Ru, the RW in Egypt. RW is Ru. That's the mouth, the gate. The gate of God is Ka Ding Er Bab Ilu. So when we're talking about, before I mentioned the gate of God, the Ankh symbol with the Tau cross and the way towards God, the gate of God. Well, the gate of God is that Ru symbol on the Ankh, the oval that represents air symbolism, the air element from the three others and the Tau cross, and that air element is the towards the sun, the sky, the stars, the light of truth, and that's the gate of God, is the mouth, that mouth, the womb of God, the gate of God is that top part of the Ankh, which is the air symbolism, which is higher consciousness with reaching towards truth. That's the way out of the netherworld and the underworld, out of the dead, the coffin, the tomb, to rebirth ourselves into coming into the day, into the light of the day. So the gate of God, Ka Ding Er Bab Ilu, can also be mouth of God. So the mouth of God is that top Ankh part. And that's why the Ankh is used to breathe life into people. And God breathed life into the nostrils of man. The hieroglyphs with the Ankh at the nose, being pushed into the nose. It's the breath of God, sun, light, truth, the top of the Ankh symbolism, the air. Well, that air, that symbolism of air, truth, and light, and the gate and the mouth of God is being pushed into you as knowledge, as the life. The knowledge of truth, the knowledge of good and evil, is the knowledge that you need to go through that gate of God, the mouth of God, in order to be able to create a heaven on earth instead of a hell, to create a paradise. So, that's the way we reach that godly higher consciousness is through that gate, that mouth, that womb of the air, the sun, the truth. And that's how you get to higher consciousness. That's how you get to, quote, God, to be a better, quote, God, creator, generator of our experience in reality, to create the heaven and paradise we want. Babylon means gate of God, from the Sumerian Ka-Dinger. And in Akkadian, Ka-Dinger is Bab-Ilu. So Bab-Ilu from Ka-Dinger is what is the word Babylon. Babylon simply means gate of God. Bab is gate and Ilu is God. And in the Sumerian, Ka is gate and Dinger is God. So Ka and Bab are the same thing, and Dinger and Ilu are the same thing. So the Ka, the gate in the mouth, and the Dinger, the God, the gate of God, Ka-Dinger, well, that's the same as the Ru, as the mouth and gate, and the Ka comes from Sag. That's the head sign. So Sag is the head sign. I think that becomes our modern R through the Phoenician. I have to check the alphabet again. But the Ka, the mouth, well, that comes from the head. So the head, the Sag, and then the Ka, the gate, and the mouth. It's all going to the... It's an allusion to a higher consciousness again, to the head upwards. The air symbolism. So the Sumerian Ka is the gate, the mouth, a derivative of Sag head. Bab-Ilu, Bab-El, gate of God. Again, more reference to Babylon, Bab-El, gate of God, God. L, Al, A, the letter A, comes from the bull. So the gate of the bull, you could look at it as the gate of the bull, the mouth of the bull, and the bull's at the bottom of the Tao, and at the bottom of the Tao, well, that's the underworld, symbolically. So you have to go through the underworld, you have to go through the realm of the dead, you have to come out of the coffin, out of the tomb, out of the graveyard, through the Taurus Earth symbolism, through that underworld symbolism, the gate of God, the gate of El, the gate of the bull. You have to go through those gates and face the demons in order to resurrect yourself and be reborn again at the dawn as the sun again, and then reach higher consciousness on the midday again. And you can keep doing this process over and over and over until the day you die and becoming a better person continuously. This is the real knowledge, all ancient knowledge, esoterically encoded, that you have to know what you're looking for. The exoteric does not tell you the meaningful things. The exoteric is just a cover story to have you fall in line and conform. So the direction of the head, Samit Ar-Ra in Arabic, which I mentioned before, is up to the sky, right? Our arms and our legs point downwards. The head is the only thing pointing upwards. So it points up to the air, the sky, the sun symbolism. Again, higher consciousness symbolism, which is where the head is naturally pointing. And this means zenith. Samit means zenith. If you take Samit and you go, the S becomes a Z or a Z, the AM becomes ENI, and the T becomes a TH. Well, it becomes Samit to Zamit to Zemit, Zenit, and then Zenith. See the transition? Anyways, if you understand how the letters can change, you'll understand it. And Samit, Samit Ar-Ra, which Samit becomes Zenith, Samit is the way and path. So the cow and the Milky Way sun resurrection, the path of the night, Milky Way, the sun travels for resurrection, or through the earth for resurrection, or through the cow for resurrection and rebirth. Well, that's Samit. That's the way and the path. So Samit Ar-Ra is the direction of the head, because Ar-Ra is head in chief. So Samit is the way and path, and Ar-Ra is the head in chief. So it's the head chief way and path, Samit Ar-Ra. So Ar-Ra is head in chief, and capital is head in chief, and that means capital is head and means chief, most important, first. So when we're looking at the bull, cow, ox, and the apis, worship, and the Aleph, Alpha, A, and the air and the breath and the head, and how that relates to God and consciousness and power, strength, fertility, energy, leadership, authority. You can see how that relates to capital and the head, and most important, and the breath from the head, and pointing upwards towards the air, and the alpha and the aleph. The aleph and the a come means God, and that comes from the bull symbolism as well. And the capital is a word that comes from cattle's head. So the head on the body is the most important for life. Capital comes from cattle's head, from the importance of cattle in early human dominator predator culture economy. So the cattle, the head, again the head pointing upwards, and the horns emanations as the emanations of the sun pointing upwards, aspiring for truth. So the capital of the head, the importance of the head of the cattle, comes from the cattle again, from the cow. And you can see Ara, the head, the chief, the capital, pointing upwards towards the sky. So capital is first, chief, most important, through the symbolized connection of the head, the horns, the bull cow, and through consciousness and some sun symbolism of power, energy, and authority. So the sun, God, El, Al, Aleph, power, energy, authority, strength, the bull, the ka, it's all related. So infographic number 10 is similar to the one I've used on elemental quaternity. So this is just the ka. I'm clarifying what the ka is. The ka is the power, energy, strength, our actions, our arms, our deeds. The ka is the power, energy, and the spirit and life. That's what it is. That's why it's interpreted as spirit. It's not spirit somewhere else in some other place in fantasy land and soul fantasy land bullshit somewhere else, some concocted imagination place. No, it's all about us here and now. The spirit is the essence and nature of life from the power of our hands and arms as actions and deeds. So our arms and our hands creates actions and deeds. And that creates changes in time, and that's the generator power, godly aspect of how we can create and alter our human reality. And that determines the spirit and essence and the nature of our life. The life we create comes from the power of our hands and arms, the actions and our deeds, which represents who we are as our character, as our moral spirit, essence, and nature of who we are, determining the quality of our life, and our it comes from our character, who we are. That's our spirit, essence, and nature from the power of our actions and arms, our hands and arms, the actions and our deeds that we do in our life. That determines who we are as a person, our character, our moral spirit, essence, and nature, and that determines our quality of life. The ka or cow, the bull and cow, the power, strength, and fertility. It's the power of action in the world to create from consciousness, from self, soul, spirit, essence, etc., of who we are. That's who we are. It's not some other place and some other energy field and some other imagination. You want to believe that? Go right ahead. Have fun with that. Go run with that. I'm going with grounding in reality, as I've said. I'm sticking with this because it's what makes the most sense. So, the power of actions in the world to create from consciousness, self, soul, spirit, the essence of who we are, we're aspiring and rising up to higher consciousness. That's why the arms aren't pointed downwards, they're pointing upwards, up, like the horns are pointed up, because the arms, the ka, are a reflection of the bull and the horns and the ka, pointing upwards and having the sun disk in the horns, holding the sun at its highest position in the midday, at the highest, higher consciousness. It's all symbolism. Real spirituality is morality. Your spirit, soul, self, and character is defined by what you do with what you know about reality and self or consciousness. Your behavior reflecting who you are. That's how who people are, is their behavior, their actions, which describes their character and who they are, their spirit, essence, and nature of who they are. That could change at any time. depends on what you do. You're an expression of those qualities of good and evil by what you do. So the upright arms, the right angle, the power and energy to act with arms and hands. It's our moral spirit essence and nature that determines our quality of life. Quality of life is completely dependent upon morality of our actions and deeds, which determines who we are as a character, as our spiritual essence and nature, who we are. And that's real spirituality, is morality. Our character, our behavior, our actions, our deeds, and the word character and charisma come from ka, because it has to do with power and authority and strength. And what's charisma? Well, charisma, if someone has charisma, they have an automatic veil of authority surrounding them because of their charismatic personality. And your character too. If you have a strong character, you have an automatic authority because your character is in line with morality, so you have moral authority because you know morality. This is who we are by our actions and deeds determines our quality of life. Infographic number 11. We're going to connect a lot of the letters. You'll notice we have hands as horns, the arms as the horns, right? The ka, the arms, the upright arms, and the horns pointing up, the hands pointing up, two sides, left and right, horns, left and right, hands, same symbolism. And we have the hands in the, relates to the arms have hands, the hands relate to arms, the upright arms relate to a single arm, the single arm relates to a single hand, and all this relates to horns as well, because you have horns, you have arms, and you have hands. Well, the horn and the arms, the horns and the hands all relate to power symbolism. So we have the ka with the upright arms and the bull and the horns. And we have the letter K. So in the Egyptian, it was a cup. Or a basket. It was a basket, sorry. Something to hold something in. So if you have your hand and you make a cup with it, you can hold something with it, right? You can make a basket with your hand. Your hand can hold something. But in Egyptian, the symbol for D was a hand, which later becomes the K. The D becomes a K. So that's why our K is rooted in the symbolism of hand, which you can see on the right side here. On the left, I have the Egyptian. The top left is the Egyptian. And the top right is post-Egyptian, Proto-Sinaic, Phoenician, Semitic, etc. So you have the K derived from the hand, which was originally a D. The D sound was the K sound for other people, so the D became a hand, which was the K, which is a open hand symbol, the palm, like a basket cup with the K, and that becomes the K. It's based on the hand symbol, based on the original D from the Egyptian. But you can see the link between K and D here. Even in the original Egyptian, because a D, the palm of your hand holding something like the K, was showing you can hold something in that V shape. Well, the hand can do the same thing, and that's what a basket does, it holds something. So the K and D are intimately linked. If you know your philology, I mentioned this in other work, the D and the T are linked. The A and the T are linked, as I've been showing, through sun symbolism and the bull symbolism. The Egyptian A is an arm. Well, there's the A as the eagle, and there's the A as the arm. The A as the arm, again, links to K and D through the hand. So the hand and the arm, the K and the A, and that's ka, and then the ka again, well, that's two arms, two hands, and the bull. So right here, I'm just linking, just in the letters themselves, symbolically, how we can relate them. And in the middle, I have the bull, ox, cow, and how that relates to, well, that's the source for ka, the ka symbol and sound. And then we have the head of that animal, which eventually becomes the source for the letter A, and for the whole, the source for A, Aleph, and Alpha, which is God as El. So that's the source for the description of God as El, and A to T as the beginning and end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tau, the Aleph and Tav. It's all based on the bull, cow, ox symbolism, sourcing it all. It's based on human predatory, dominator, psychopathic culture of enslaving and using animals as objects and doing whatever we want with them, which has been a problem for thousands of years. So which is why I say people who are infatuated with Egypt, get over your infatuation. You're living in a fantasy land. So here I still, just to show the A from previous slides, that's the derivation of the A. On the bottom right, on the bottom left, sorry, this is where I have, we'll be seeing it in upcoming as well with more letters. But this is where I was talking about earlier where the A looks like a K. It doesn't even have the V protruding from the line to show the horns and the head. It just looks exactly like a K. And then the M looks like the T, the Taurus symbol, the three quarters of the infinity, which is just the ox head, which is just the inverted A. So the M and the A, and then Ma, again Ma and Ma'at, well, relates to the A and the T through the symbolism, because it's the A symbolism and it's Taurus symbolism, relates to the T and then it relates to the K. So here through the Brahmi language, we can see how M and Ma and Ma'a again relates back to bull and cow symbolism and the air and the earth dichotomy and putting to death our lower natures in order to climb and aspire to higher consciousness. It's more playing off of that symbolism. I'm just showing it as correspondence in terms of how the symbolism gets used in different ways. So here it's an M and an MA. And the K looks like, and the A looks like a K, and the M looks like an upside down A. And in the middle here, there's the syllable Ka in the Minoan Aegean sign concordance. So this is Ka in different languages. So you can see how the Ka is represented as the sun symbol, rather than as the horns. Rather than simply as the hands through the horn symbolism of the bull and the power of our hands to create as God consciousness, as sun, higher order truth consciousness. Well, now it's represented as the sun itself, as the sun cross. So there you go. There's the sun cross as the Ka. Not that the Ka means the same thing as it does in the Egyptian, but I'm saying the word Ka in the Egyptian represented one way is represented in a different way in another language. But again, it's using the same interchangeable symbolism of sun and bull, cow, ox, and how those relate to ourselves and reality and consciousness and God. The sun and the cow symbolism and the bull symbolism and the horns is very interrelated into the cross and the sun symbolism and higher consciousness. And this is also the symbol for the cross sun symbolism is also the X for town in part of the derivations for the word Kemet, which doesn't have to do with black. Kem can mean black, but Kem can also be the root for other words. It's the determinative, which determines if it's a color. And for the word Egypt, there's no black determinative indicated anywhere. All it means is family, land, and people. That's what Kem means. It refers to their family, their land, their people, which is what the ancient Egyptian religion is allegedly all about. In terms of Ma'at and truth and law and order as a concept to live life, whether it was actually lived or not, or whether the Pharaoh actually did it, or whether they used this concept to manipulate people. It has to do with Kemet, having to do with family and people and the land where you live. It's livable land. It's not just land. It's livable land where you live, where your village is, where your family is, where the people are. And all it has to do with family living and integrating cohesively as social interactions, which is what morality and behavior is about, which is why the overarching concept of Ma'at was conceptualized and created to represent this harmonious aspect of living socially. But again, animals, do the other animals matter? For them, it's who gives a shit about non-human animals, and let's be predator, psychopathic dominators anyways. Do you want to tell me that's all good and truth, order, and law and morality? I say X, buzzer, no, that's a fail in my book. Sure, it might be better than other things comparatively, but that's why it's a scale of good and evil. Two polar opposites, and we're in between as a diverse multiplicity, diversity, and variability within those poles of either actualizing more good and more good, or not actualizing it and allowing more evil and more evil to be actualized. Infographic number 12. So here we have the Aleph. As I've said before, it's two hands joined by a nail. So two hands, well, the two hands, what was that symbol? The two hands, the two arms, well, that's the Ka. And the nail, well, what's the nail? If you look in the correspondence here of some charts I provided, well, the nail is just the hand or the hook. So again, we got the two hands, and then the nail is a hand or a hook. So it's just hand symbolism all around. Hand symbolism, what's that? Hand and arm symbolism. Well, that's the Ka. That's the power, strength, fertility, authority, leadership, first, God, consciousness. It's all about creating and generating through our hands, and that's the power and creative capacity we have as gods and consciousness to do that. So that's Aleph right there, the first letter, A, Aleph, God. Bull symbolism, it's all talking about our power to create in reality, which is what the concept of God is the creator. And we have the word Yahweh, YHVH. So Yod is arms, hands, works, and deeds. The H is He, and that's behold. And again, the behold has the arms up. That's the glyph. The He is lo behold, has his arms up. Again, arms up again. So Yod, arms, hands, works, deeds. Hey, behold, arms up. We have Vav as the nail, the hook, the hand and hook again. And we have another Hey as behold, arms up. So we have arms, hands, works,